Let's pray together. And Lord, we do thank you once again for, Lord, for Obi and Emily being your willing ambassadors as though you're making your appeal through them. God, thank you for using them as a source of comfort and light to Yuli and Ella and the girls and the elders and the families, Lord, that are just a minuscule percentage of the population there, God. Not even knowing what Christmas is, Lord, if it weren't for the church there that says it's a big day, it's a really important day. So God, thank you for using them. Lord, we do pray that you would, again, cause our hearts to break afresh, that we might pour out love upon them, Lord. God, just as Paul the Apostle pleaded with others to help the church in Jerusalem, so too, Lord, here are Obi and Emily, just making the need known. God, help us to share of from our wealth, Lord, that we might bless these people thousands and thousands and thousands of miles away, but yet we have the common banner of Christ in our lives, Lord Jesus. They are our brothers and sisters. So God, help us. Help them, Lord. Minister to them in their sicknesses, Lord, in their needs, God. And even as they put on a front that everything's okay, but yet they're hurting, Lord, we know that's one thing we have in common, Lord. We do that here in America too. So God, help us to address the heart issues, to go right to the soul of the matter, Jesus. Yes, to give them physical things and material things, but Lord Jesus, more than anything, to give them the hope of heaven through Jesus Christ, through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, knowing that the best is yet to come for us, God. So please, would you begin to heal that country that is just ravaged by so many empires that sought to crush the name and the cause of Christ, which really is love and freedom. And would you do a good work there, Lord? Would you bring revival to Albania? Thank you for using these two here as an encouragement, God. We pray for them and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
One more thing.
Wow. Heavy.
Just real quick, Dory.
On the left is Ambra, and on the right is Ajla. And so these are the two new ones. They're 4 months old. They're new to the orphanage. Ambra has a heart defect, and they do not have, and they're completely not equipped to handle anything like that over there. So please pray for a miracle that God would heal her little heart, please. Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Ambra and Ajla, and that Dory was able to welcome them into the orphanage. I ask, Lord God, that you would please heal Ambra's heart, that you would just do a miracle, Lord, and that she would live a full and healthy life. Amen.
Heavy things to share. And that's just the beginning. That's 20 minutes. And here we are in our big affluent society, and we pay some people maybe what they'll make but yet we put so much emphasis on it. God help us. God help us. To help them. And it's even hard to think about some of those things we'll do just in the name of fun. And it'll pass. We'll spend a lot of money. But yet there's a people there that are content with so little, you know. So God, speak to us. Help us, Lord. Help us. Well, we're going to continue to support them and Yuli and Ella in all kinds of ways. Again, if at any time the Lord puts it on your heart to put a special gift their way, certainly we will do that. We support them at a monthly, as a church, we support them monthly, but boy, you poured it out on them. Some of you really poured it out on that church there that's desiring to rebuild this orphanage, get a roof on a church, things like that, that again, you know, we would think a trip to Home Depot would cover some of those things, but man, you saw what it's going to take. So let's continue to support them. What a great thing the Lord's brought us into, given us an opportunity thousands of miles away to support our brothers and sisters. So I'm glad for that. Glad for that. Well, again, going back to what seems to be such a frivolous thing, as we think about what's happening in our country today, and then again, tomorrow, Valentine's Day, Super Bowl, these things are enjoyable. I'm not denying that. I'm not saying they're not, and it's not a sin to enjoy them. You can certainly do that, but again, let's consider those who are in such great need. Even as we enjoy these things, God can spur us on to reach out. And I would encourage you today, even as you go to a football game, or you give somebody a Valentine tomorrow maybe, that somehow you might go deeper. You might bring the love of Jesus Christ into the situation. God knows we're going to be with a lot of people, some of us, today, later on today, and tomorrow. Man, take the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. He might open a door for you. So I encourage you to do that. Again, so we have, Los Angeles Rams, Cincinnati Bengals. I grew up in Los Angeles. I was born about 2 miles from the stadium, Sophie Stadium in Inglewood there. And my dad was a big fan, went to a few games in the Coliseum. My dad wish he was alive today to see the game. You know, he died on this day 4 years ago. So we miss him. We'll be flying the colors today at my mom's house. We'll have dinner with him. And we'll think about my dad, how he would have enjoyed that so much, that the game is here and his team is playing. And that was one of those few things we had that we really bonded over was football, baseball. Sports was our thing. And so I'm so grateful for those times. And, you know, some people would say, 1902, Rose Bowl, maybe Yale played then. And, of course, now we're up here to 1967, first Super Bowl. This is the 56th Super Bowl. But, man, you got to go really far back to find the first real bowl. The first bowl was a bronze bowl. And it's mentioned in the book of Exodus. We're going to be in Exodus for the next 14 minutes. We're going to be in the book of Exodus, 1 Kings chapter 7, Hebrews chapter 10, Romans chapter 5. Man, I feel like I'm calling an audible. As a matter of fact, I think about it right now. Peter, Paul, John 3:16, right now. There it is. Boom. Boom. There it is right there. Antonio Lepe making the down and out right there. Got some hands. The guy's got some hands right there. Yeah. We threw one earlier in first service. It went right through the hands. Not Antonio. But anyway, almost put a hole in the wall. You know, football, it's an enjoyable thing, and we can use it. We can use it as a stepping stone to sharing the good news. So I talk a lot. Good catch, Antonio. That was a bad throw. You caught this man. That's honey on your hands from the baklava back there. He just stuck right there. But even last week, we talked about the Passover lamb and about how in the days of Moses, again, the people were given a way of escape through sacrificing the lamb, putting the blood over their doorpost. And in that way, the angel of death would pass over the house. And then with that, the people were able to go through the Red Sea, led by Moses, onto the promised land. But what happened after that? That was the beginning for them. As they wandered in the desert, rebellious hearts towards God, even after seeing his miracles. But one thing God established was sacrificial system through the priests of offering a sacrifice for the sin of the people. Daily sins by the Levitical priest, but also by the high priest, one sacrifice a year for the whole nation. They did these things in the tabernacle. It was like a mobile church, basically, you might say. Wherever they went, the tabernacle, the altar, went with them. And so they would wander. And one thing about it is there was a certain way, there was a certain method about things to approach God, to show signs of being pure or seeking to be have your heart pure when you offered a sacrifice. And that's where Exodus chapter 30, verse 17 comes in, where God speaks to Moses about what the priest who stood between a holy God and a sinful man or woman, the priest was the mediator. And they would offer the sacrifice. And the shedding of blood was a huge part of it. Even from the very beginning, of course, God chose an animal to cover the sin of Adam and Eve. They were clothed in some type of an animal skin. And right off the bat, the principle was that sin has a high cost. Sin results in death for this innocent animal whose blood was shed to cover the sin. And this went on for, you know, 1,500 years or more, where the animal would cover the sin of the person. And so Exodus chapter 30, again, verse 17, goes something like this. I'm stalling to get there. Here we go. Verse says, Moses, you shall make a laver of bronze. A laver is a bowl, like a sink, with its base also of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. There's going to be a place in the middle between the entrance and getting to the heart of the altar. You're going to put a bowl there out of bronze. And when the priests go in, they come near to make an offering to the Lord. Verse 21, they got to wash their hands and their feet. What's the penalty if they don't? They die. It was that important. Now, it was supposed to be a symbol of purifying their hearts, as all these things are in the Bible. And so washing their hands and feet, they realized, well, we're approaching a holy God. We've got to purify ourselves. This is no joke. And that's what went on. And they did this for a very long time. As time went on, we get to, and you get to Solomon's day. And Solomon, world probably at the time. And Solomon takes the tabernacle and he turns it, he transforms it, he, let's just say, he betters it, takes it to a whole new level, and he builds the temple. He builds the temple. And I want to remind you that the temple, the tabernacle, they're all shadows of what's in heaven. In the book of Hebrews, it's mentioned many times, and in the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, that these things are fashioned after what is in heaven. And having just read through the book of Revelation, we read that stunning verse in chapter 11, verse 19, which says, the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the Ark of the Covenant was seen in the temple. So all these things that the priests fashioned, all these craftsmen, that things they made, the lampstand, the incense, the bowl of bronze, were just replicas or shadows. To the real temple in heaven. And so we read in 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 13 through 23. I'm not going to read all of it, but it says this. Now King Solomon sent and brought Huram from Tyre. It says he was the son of a famous bronze worker named Tyre. He was filled with wisdom and understanding and skill in working with all kinds of bronze work. Again, this is probably 1,000 years before Jesus, the incarnation, Bethlehem. And it says, so he came to King Solomon and did all his work. Fast forward, verse 23, 1 Kings chapter 7. And he made the sea of cast bronze, 10 cubits from one brim to the other, which is about a 15-foot diameter from one edge of the bowl to the other. It was so imagine a bowl made of bronze as big as this stage, a circle as big as the stage, and again, 7.5 feet deep, 15 feet from one edge to the other, and again, I was counting this off earlier, but think of Shamu in a small tank, really. Okay, if you've gone to SeaWorld, and there's a plexiglass, but this is bronze. It's made out of bronze, and it's held up by 12 gold oxen that are each pointing a different direction, north, south, east, and west. This is what you might call the first Super Bowl, no doubt about it. It was the Super Bowl, it was. And so this is, again, 1,000 years before Jesus. Now the thing about this bowl is that they didn't just wash their hands and feet in it, they put their whole body in it. So if Solomon figured if your feet and your hands, if that purified you, then how much more if you put your whole body into this tank and immerse yourself in it. Fast forward again 1,000 years to the days of Jesus. By the time Jesus left his glory in heaven, came to earth, much of the priesthood had become corrupt. It had lost its original purpose in a big way. And instead of the priests purifying their hearts and humbling themselves, they began to make a show of it. And instead of representing God, they misrepresented God in many ways. They made things that should have been so simple, complicated. And Jesus oftentimes called out the Pharisees and said, "You've made void the word of God by your traditions. You've added so much to what I established." As Jesus spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. And again, Pharisees prided themselves on keeping the law and even adding to it. So he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that Jesus had not first washed before dinner. Again, there was also washings before he had a meal. Then the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside of the cup or the person make the inside also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you." In other words, you have totally left the idea of what the water was supposed to signify. John chapter 13, there's a moment. When Jesus, just maybe hours before he's betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he calls his disciples to come eat with him in the upper room. And they're all there seated. And Jesus gets up. He gets a bowl, a small bowl with water, and he begins to wash his disciples' feet. And he gets to Peter. "Hey, Lord, I am not going to let you wash my feet." And Jesus says, "Peter, if you don't let me do this, you have no part in me." And Peter says, "Well then, Lord, in that case, give me a bath. I'll wash my whole body." And Jesus says, "Peter, those who are clean don't need a bath. All they need is their feet washed once in a while." Now, this had two significances here. It had a dual significance. People in that day, you walk around town, you don't wear shoes or you wear Birkenstocks, your feet get really dirty, right? They get very, very dirty. So before you go into somebody's house, the most humble of servants would wash the feet. It was the dirtiest job you can imagine. And Jesus takes that dirty job upon himself. And he would say to them later, "Hey, if I, being your master, have done this, then so too ought you, because no servant is greater than his master. You're called to serve others." But Jesus also gives that word to Peter, saying, "Peter, you know what? You're clean because of me. You've trusted in me, Peter, and you're clean through and through. But once in a while, Peter, you do some things and you need some forgiveness." And that's the foot cleansing, all of us. We come to Jesus Christ, man, the Bible says he cleanses us. He does. I'm going to get to that right now. But every day we stumble. And that's the moment we need the foot washing. We need to say, "Jesus, I'm sorry about that. Could you just wash me afresh?" And Jesus says, "Of course. You're still mine, but I can take care of that sin like that." The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, in verse 11, works towards Jesus now. And the writer of Hebrews says this: "Every priest who stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins," he says, "but this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever," which, by the way, was his body and blood, "sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies were made his footstool, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." In other words, Jesus became not only the Passover lamb, his body and blood, but he became the water that purifies us, the living water. And if you go to John chapter 4, you see that Jesus meets a Samaritan. And Samaritans and Jews, not on good terms. And she's going to draw water from the well. And she meets Jesus, and Jesus says, please give me a drink. And she says, how can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink? And I'm a woman, by the way. This looks bad. And Jesus says, if you knew who it was that asked you for a drink of water, you'd have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And the conversation goes on, of course. And you get to this place where in Jacob's well, you're going to be thirsty again. But if you drink from the water that I will give you, it will become in you a fountain of water springing forth unto eternal life. You'll never thirst again. Back to Hebrews. The writer says this. Therefore, brothers and sisters, having boldness to enter the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is his flesh, having a high priest, Jesus, over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. A true heart with full assurance of faith. Here's the key. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, he becomes for us the Super Bowl of love. We're cleansed through coming to Jesus. More than any priest could ever be cleansed by water, Jesus, through his blood, body and blood, just combine them, bud, through his blood, the Bible says he is the living water that cleanses us. And when we come to Jesus Christ, every sin, past, present, and future, is dealt with right there. And we are as pure as we're ever going to be. But we've got to pass through him. Just like the priest had to wash his hands, Mr. Cody John, he had to wash his hands, just like you do. He had to wash his hands before going to the altar. The Bible says there's only one way to get to the Father. It's through Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He's the bowl you got to pass through. He's the only way to get clean, to approach God. And again, we see it with the woman at the well. We see it when in John chapter 7, he cries out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Out of his heart will flow rivers or torrents, gushing of living water. That's what Jesus does. He fulfills all the sacrifices, all the instruments the priests use. He's the lampstand. He's the bowl of incense. Those things symbolize Jesus offered up, and he's the bowl. He's the super bowl of love. He did it out of love. I want to end with Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. Paul says this, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. A soldier might jump in front of his general, good general. He said, I'll take the bullet for my general. But God demonstrates love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were still God's enemy, Christ died for us. And since we've now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Jesus made peace with God for us. We were the enemy of God. And Jesus took the cross in him. His life for ours. And Jesus said, there's no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. And Jesus did it. He set the example. Nobody else can save us except Jesus. He's it. He's the one. And as you watch the game today and all the hype associated with it, and you watch that running back carrying the football and receiving so much glory and admiration, I want you to take a moment to consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. As much as you admire that running back or that tight end, wide receiver, man, we have to admire Jesus so much more for what he did for us. He carried not a football, but he carried a cross up a mountain. And he was crucified on it. For the joy that was set before him, he took it all the way to the mountain. We go crazy when we see a running back take a ball into the end zone. Man, we ought to be all the more so in amazement that Jesus carried the cross up the mountain, died on the cross for the joy that was set before him, which is us. That's us. We're the joy that was set before him. Yes, getting back to the Father was a great thing for Jesus, of course, going to the glory that he had. But the joy that was set before him really was the salvation of our souls. That's an amazing thought. And then tomorrow when you receive some little Valentine's chocolates and treats, little tokens of love, consider him who said there's no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. So I encourage you to look beyond both the game today and Valentine's Day tomorrow and see Jesus so much greater and significant than both of those things combined, having become for us a Super Bowl of love. And if you've never experienced Jesus' love before, you've never been cleansed by putting your It's so simple. It's free for us, but it cost Jesus everything. But we come to him freely. But it takes a humbling of our hearts, recognizing that we can't. There's no other way to approach the altar except through Jesus. We can't get to the Father God except through Jesus. Is it narrow? Yes, it is. It is. The way is narrow to eternal life. But man, it's the road worth traveling. You're going to be so glad you did that. You said yes to Jesus. And you're going to be clean. You're going to be clean. And when you stand before God one day, he's going to say, man, well done. Good and faithful servant. He's going to see his son Jesus has covered you, all your sin. And then you're going to be clean as the fresh fallen Julian snow that we haven't seen since last year. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. So let's stand together. Let's pray. And again, if that is you, wow, pray right now. If you've known Jesus for a while, pray for renewed zeal to share the gospel. Let's end with that now. Thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name once again, for becoming that bowl, Lord, whereby which we are cleansed from every sin, Lord, past, present, and future. God, thank you for that. And Jesus, I pray if there's anybody here who has never humbled themselves and said, Jesus, I need you. I have sinned. Man, my sin has got a hold of me. My sin masters me. I don't master my sin, Lord. I encourage that person to cry out right now and pray a prayer like this. Please, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me, Jesus. I need you. I have nothing. I'm hopeless and helpless. All my credentials, all my certificates, all my accomplishments, they're not the bowl, Lord. They're not going to get me to heaven. I understand that. Jesus, only you will. So right now, this moment, I put my faith in you. I put my mustard seed of faith in you, the object of my faith, who made the ultimate sacrifice to cover my sin, to forgive me of my sin. So Jesus, I trust you now. Please. Forgive me. And Lord, even now, as I pass through that ball, I'm pure, Lord Jesus. I'm clean. Would you now help me to walk in the freedom and the newness of life and not to go backwards into those things that enslave me, Jesus, but thank you that you set me free and you made me clean, Lord. And I want to stay clean, Jesus. So please help me to stay close to you, Jesus. Would you be right there through your word? God, help me to understand your word. As I pray, Jesus, I don't even know how to pray. I'm praying now for the first time. Jesus, help me. And God, let me be surrounded by God's people who love me and love you. And I thank you for this day, the most super day of my life, God. February 13th, 2022, I passed from death to life. I was blind, now I see. I was lost, now I'm found. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that for me. And Lord, for those of us who have walked with you for a while, help us not forget how amazing, incredible, fantastic, terrific, super it is to be a Christian. All our sins forgiven. God, help us to bring you into our conversations today and think about you carrying the cross up the mountain and loving us, giving your life for us. So God, bless the rest of our day. Thank you for the food we're about to eat. Thank you for the families who made so many good treats for us to get a head start on the eating 4 hours before the game starts, Lord. Thank you for all the good things that you bless us with. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, I encourage you too. Stick around if you're able to. There's so many good things, but if you prayed a prayer like that today, don't rush off, but come and let's pray again. God bless you. Get some food before you get your kids. Enjoy it before you have to get your kids. And we'll see you maybe on Tuesday or Wednesday or Friday or Sunday. Lots of opportunities. God bless you. Thanks for coming.
You made it, isn't a way to explain the kind of change that'll make an end.